Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, we're coming into that time of year where, I don't know about you, but the urge for goodies when the weather gets cold, a good cup of chocolate and something sweet, and maybe we get the baking momentum. Boy, I know it happens to me during the beginning of the cooler months, and here in the Pacific Northwest, we're supposed to be having freezing temperatures. So what can be better than something coming from the oven during winter? Or some delicious sweet something. Well, the problem is, most of the time when we have it, not only does it taste good on the lips, but it also ends up thin on the hips, and it doesn't look good there. But my guest today, Rachel Albert Matisse, is a healthy cooking coach. And Rachel has been, Chef Rachel, has been on my show before. So we talked about all kinds of things. But this time, we're going to be talking about her Ice Dream Cookbook. We're going to talk about some delicious goodies you can have that are going to really make your taste buds so happy and make you feel good about those upcoming holiday dresses that you're going to want to still be able to get into while you're satisfying that sweet tooth. Hi, Chef Rachel. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm glad to be back.
Is it getting cold in Colorado?
Well, actually, I'm in Phoenix, and it's still really warm. I'm in sleeveless shirt and shorts.
I don't know why. I thought you were in Colorado.
Not sure, but...
I don't either, but anyway, didn't get my facts straight, but you're in warm country right now.
I am.
Well, being in warm country, that makes a whole bunch of difference when it comes to the things that you want. Being in cold country, like it's getting up in my neck of the woods, boy, we really like our goodies during the winter. And your Ice Dream Cookbook, I thought, was so special. Tell us how you came about with the Ice Dream.
Well, one of my cooking students and acquaintances, maybe about 10 years ago, had received an ice cream maker as a Christmas gift. And she had been trying to kick the sugar habit. And I thought, this ice cream maker is going to be her demise. And so I told her that I could help her come up with a healthier version of ice cream without the refined sugar. And then I went into the kitchen and experimented, and my initial experiments came out great. Then I created some more recipes, and then over time I just kept creating because people were so excited about the flavors and the health benefits of the frozen desserts. And it's very different than any other book out on the market.
That's very true. Now, I want to give a little bit of a background about you so my audience knows that not only are you a culinary specialist, you've been very much a specialist when it comes to natural foods. You teach it. You do freelance writing regarding food. I mean, you've been involved with this for a lot of years. And I know that one of your areas of interest is being able to provide dishes and recipes for people that need gluten-free type of food programs. There's so many people that have found that they've ended up having celiac or dietary problems because of foods that I don't think people were so aware of for 50 years ago. And I think there's just been a lot of changes in the way we eat and what we do and our environment. So things have altered in the physiology for many, many people. And you have so many wonderful recipes, which I want to share, but you yourself, I mean, you grew up with the Toll House cookie recipe.
Right. I was a sugar baby, and I ate dessert-type things, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and loads of white flour and sugar and dairy products, and I had health challenges at an early age, and that really set me on a health quest. I wanted to learn more about healthy cooking, healthy eating, so that I could look better and feel better. And then the more I learned about it, the more I wanted to share it with other people. And that really kind of propelled me into the career that I've been in for the last 20 years.
Well, you've helped a lot of people. But more than that, a lot of what you have put together in recipes, and I know your husband is very much involved in the taste testing process. How many people have the delightful experience of going into your test kitchen to find out whether something is really going to be appealing or not?
Well, I would say dozens and dozens. And actually, not everyone comes into my test kitchen, but sometimes, like when I was in the creation of this book, I had a team of cooking students and friends, and I would send them recipes, and they would make them, and then they would bring samples to me so that I didn't have to make everything.
Oh.
I would write up the recipes, and then if something needed retesting, they would go back and test it again. And then I had another group of people that I would bring taste to let them taste it, let their kids taste what I was making. So I really had this huge team, and I can't even count how many people because there were so many people who were involved in the tasting directly through me or indirectly through my friends and students and cooking assistants.
I've been aware of some people when they're doing their testing, they find their local police department, fire department, and ask for volunteers, and usually they line up.
Oh, and I didn't have to do that. I guess because I had to talk in the cooking kitchen, too.
It's like, okay, here's the survey sheet.
Yeah. Well,
give us your opinions here.
Yeah, and I think because I do cooking classes and cooking parties so much throughout the year, I have a ready group of people that I'm exposed to. So writing the book wasn't just creating everything, just in a short time frame. There was a lot of creation over a period of time where, you know, people just wanted more and more of the ice cream recipes and things like that because there just wasn't anything like it on the market.
Mm-hmm. And many people are lactose intolerant. So as much as they might enjoy ice cream, it's not something that they can have. They have to have something else. Mm-hmm. And it's tough, especially if you have children that are lactose intolerant, and to have something that the whole family can enjoy, friends and family, and nobody feels like they're being deprived, that is optimal. You give some interesting statistics regarding ice cream. You say the U.S. per capita consumption of ice cream reached an all-time high of 23 pounds, more than 20 quarts or 5 gallons per person. Good gracious, I don't even have a scoop. I don't know who they talk to, but that's something that's not in my diet, but very, very rarely, and I mean that most sincerely. Where do they get these numbers from?
You know, I'm not sure how those are calculated, but I did check, you know, USDA resources and several other sources as well. And, you know, most people, when I've gone into people's kitchens to do cooking classes or cooking parties or to help people learn about healthy shopping, most people have ice cream in their freezers, and they have commercial ice cream made from hormone-laced milk and cream and loaded with sugar, and most people just don't know how hazardous the dairy products or the sugar or the preservatives are in those kinds of foods that they're eating.
This is an issue that I think many people are becoming more and more familiar with, and I know we talk about it every once in a while on my show. What you eat, what goes into your body, is what is going to give you wellness. And so paying attention to preservatives and hormones and things like this is becoming more and more a part of the public psyche. Now, celiac is a big problem for a number of people, and I've had guests on through the years that have talked about how they dealt with this. And you had a statistic about gluten sensitivity. You say 42% of Americans have genes for gluten sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And people can be tested for this. If they're finding that they have reactions to certain foods, there are blood tests that you can take that can give you an insight into this, isn't there?
There are blood tests, and then there's another test that's a newer test that actually may be more reliable at testing for gluten intolerance in the early stages before it would show up in a biopsy. There's actually a bowel test, like a stool test, where they can test for certain antibodies, and some experts believe that that's more accurate than the blood test.
Oh, that's interesting. All right, we're talking about goodies. We're talking about something that is going to be okay for the people that are going to want to picks the sweet habit, and you give some stats on that. You say in 1967, Americans ate 114 pounds of sugar and sweeteners per capita, nearly all of it as either raw or refined sugar. In 2003, each person consumed about 142 pounds of sugar. And since high fructose corn syrup was developed more than 30 years ago, consumption of this sweetener, which is in just about everything on the shelf, has skyrocketed, and Americans currently down about 61 pounds of it each year. Since 1950, soft drink consumption per capita has quadrupled from about 11 gallons per year to about 46 gallons in 2003, nearly a gallon a week a person. Again, I don't know where they get the stats from, but those are incredible numbers. It sounds like we're just sitting down and eating bags of sugar.
Well, I think it's because so many people are eating sugar in hidden forms, like, you know, in the soda, in the processed foods they're eating. And then because we're part of this whole supersized generation, you know, a lot of people are eating sugary snacks multiple times a day.
Amazing. Well, I'm not an innocent. I have sugar periodically, so that is something that I do. Now, you have some information, nutritional information throughout your book before we get to the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about Dr. Mary Enig, who is the author of Eat Fat, Lose Fat, and you bring up some information about lauric acid, L-A-U-R-I-C.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what that is and what its value is.
Okay, lauric acid is a fatty acid that is found in human mother's milk, and it's in human mother's milk to enhance a baby's immunity. And that same fatty acid is also found in coconut milk, coconut oil, flaked coconut, and it has antiviral, antifungal, and antimicrobial properties. So it's just an amazing health-enhancing substance that we can get from eating coconut, and that's one of the key benefits of making the frozen desserts in the ice cream cookbook, is that I use coconut milk as the base rather than milk or cream or soy milk.
Now, in using coconut milk, mm-hmm. and for years that has been bad-mouthed terribly,
mm-hmm.
and it is really something, my goodness, the Polynesians used it, and
yeah.
it's a natural food.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're purchasing it, what is the best form to get it in?
Well, when you're shopping for coconut milk, I recommend you buy an unsweetened, preservative-free brand of coconut milk, preferably one without any sulfites. So that would be sulfites or sulfur dioxide, which is a preservative and a bleach. And some people have respiratory reactions to sulfites. But the main thing is unsweetened. And coconut milk is actually much more widely available now than it was, say, 10 or 20 years ago. And most natural food stores have, you know, at least one and often two different brands.
Now, you have all kinds of information in the book, equipment to buy. It really is it's like being in a classroom, a cooking classroom, without the teacher, but you've got the book.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about a couple of recipes. And people can use their ice cream makers, is that correct?
Yep, you definitely need an ice cream maker to make these recipes. And I have 80 different frozen dessert recipes with more than 200 variations. So there are flavors in here for everyone.
Now, one of the ingredients that you like to use as a sweetener is stevia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, give us a little information about stevia, because stevia, I've had it at times where it has a bitterness to it. And other times it has been absolutely marvelous. Is there a difference in product lines on the shelf?
Absolutely.
Is there a difference between the liquid and the powder? Give us some information
okay.
on that.
So stevia is a non-caloric herbal sweetener, and it's made from the leaf of a plant native to South America. And stevia doesn't promote tooth decay, and as I said, it doesn't have any calories, so it doesn't adversely affect blood sugar level either. And it comes in different forms, and I prefer to use the pure stevia extract powder, which has nothing added. I don't buy the products that have fillers. Some companies sell the stevia in these little packets that look like sugar packets or
mm-hmm.
artificial sweetener packets.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with those is they have fillers that dilute it so that people can sprinkle it more like sugar. And some of those fillers can cause digestive distress, and also because the fillers change the concentration, they don't work in my recipes. So I actually recommend people get, this is the 100% pure stevia extract powder. I also use stevia extract liquid, and you have to make sure you get the clear liquid, not the green liquid. The green liquid and the green powder from the stevia are the least refined forms, but they also have the most bitter flavor. And I find most people like the liquid stevia best just because they can add it a drop at a time. It's very concentrated. So I think one of the reasons people find it bitter is they use too much.
Interesting. I know I had some product that was liquid that was flavored. And some of it was very good, but like they had a vanilla flavor, and that tasted horribly bitter. In fact, a number of people tried it, and they didn't like it. So there was something that when they put their compound together, where normally vanilla is one of the favorite flavorings for people, this wasn't the case at all. It really was not, you know, it didn't taste very good. But you've got some very good information there because people can add their own flavorings and you can use recipes. Let's share a dark chocolate ice dream.
Okay.
Dark chocolate is absolutely one of the favorites of anyone and everyone around, just about. So how do we make this ice dream? What kind of equipment should we have, first of all, to do this?
Okay, well, you need a saucepan. You'll need a wire whisk. For most of the flavors, you'll need either a blender or a food processor. You'll also need an ice cream maker, and you'll need some measuring cups and measuring spoons. And then it's helpful to have some wide-mouth jars so that once you make what I call the base for the frozen dessert, you can chill that in the refrigerator in a wide-mouth jar, and then that will be ready once it's chilled to go into your ice cream maker.
All right. So our ingredients are going to be a third of a cup of cool or cold filtered water, 2 teaspoons of unflavored gelatin, or 3/4 teaspoon of agar-agar powder. It's important to have the powder, not the flakes. 1/4 cup of honey or agave nectar, additional 1 to 3 tablespoons as they might be needed, 1/2 teaspoon pure stevia extract powder or 1 teaspoon clear stevia extract liquid. We're going to need 1/8 teaspoon of finely ground unrefined sea salt, 3 cups of unsweetened preservative-free light coconut milk, reduced fat, 4 ounces bittersweet dark chocolate, 70% to 73% chocolate. You want to chop that up coarsely. And then 1 teaspoon of pure vanilla extract or alcohol-free vanilla flavoring. And then 2 tablespoons of light or dark rum. And that's an optional ingredient if you don't want to use it. Could you use an artificial rum flavoring?
You could. You won't get as much flavor. Actually, the benefit of having the rum, having the alcohol in the frozen dessert, is it actually makes it softer and more scoopable even after weeks, even after a week or two or a month or two in the freezer.
Okay.
The alcohol works kind of like antifreeze in a frozen dessert, so it keeps it from freezing hard and gives it a longer shelf life, and then it doesn't have to sit on the counter as long when you pull it out of the freezer.
Oh, that's interesting information. All right, so folks, if you've gotten the ingredients down, then these are the directions. You take 1/3 cup of water to a small saucepan. You slowly sprinkle with gelatin or agar-agar powder. Let it sit for 2 to 5 minutes so it softens up. And then you want to warm it over medium-low heat without stirring until the gelatin or the agar-agar dissolves. Then you want to scrape the mixture into a blender, a Vitamix machine, or a food processor. And you want to cover and blend until smooth. And it's very important you cover because it's going to be a warm liquid, so you don't want to have some unpleasant experiences with that. Then, while that's been done, then you add your honey, your stevia, and your sea salt, and you blend it really well. Then, the next step is to take 1 cup of the coconut milk, bring it to a boil in a small saucepan, remove it from the heat, add your chocolate, and stir until it's smooth. Then you add this into the gelatin mixture, blending it until smooth, and add the remaining 2 cups of coconut milk and vanilla, blending it again. And if you want it sweeter, take a taste. If you want it sweeter, you add an additional 1/8 of a teaspoon of stevia and or 1 tablespoon of honey. And you just keep tasting it until it gets to that level that you want. And just as Chef Rachel said, you pour it into 1 or more wide mouth jars, cover in refrigerator for at least 6 hours before you churn it. Okay, so here we go into the churning. You scrape the chilled custard into a canister of your ice cream maker, add the optional rum, and then you just let the machine do the work.
Yep.
You're not having to turn the handle and crank with the ice like you did so many years ago. And then as soon as it's finished, and you do that according to whatever directions there are for your machine, and it's ready to serve right then and there. That's amazing. And you've got all kinds of variations like maple, dark chocolate, cocoa nib crunch, dark chocolate espresso, dark chocolate orange. Oh, one of my favorites. Dark chocolate mint and dark chocolate ginger. Yum. I mean, this is good stuff.
It is, and one of the things that makes the recipes really stand out and really satisfying is that I'm not using stevia by itself. By combining the stevia with a small amount of honey or agave nectar, the recipes have more depth of flavor, a better mouthfeel, and you can avoid the bitterness you'd get if you just use stevia by itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk cookies. Now, you have a recipe for your favorite macaroons.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that these, because I've made lots of macaroons. Boy, this is really something. Share it with us.
All right. Well, the coconut macaroon recipe, again, it's really simple. You have coconut. Do you want me to go through each ingredient and the amount?
I think so, because okay. We've got listeners that are writing this all down.
Okay. You need 4 egg whites from large or extra large eggs, and that's about 1/2 to 2/3 of a cup of egg white. You need 1/4 teaspoon of cream of tartar. You need 1/3 cup of honey or agave nectar. You need 1/4 teaspoon of pure stevia extract powder, not the liquid here. You need 1 1/2 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract or alcohol-free vanilla flavoring. You need 2 cups of unsweetened, sulfite-free, finely shredded coconut, and have an extra 1/4 to 3/4 of a cup of coconut on the side in case you need it. And then you just need unrefined coconut oil or palm shortening to grease your baking sheets.
Now, something I noticed that you did. Now, when I've done macaroons, I've used parchment paper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say that there's an unbleached parchment paper that you can get
mm-hmm.
to cook with. Where do you find that?
I find it in natural food stores, especially the large chain natural food stores, and some kitchen shops have it. And I recommend that because the bleach used for conventional paper products, including conventional parchment paper, those bleaches have some ingredients that can increase the risk of cancer. So I recommend getting unbleached muffin liners and unbleached parchment paper for kitchen use.
So now we know where we can get that. Okay, we're getting ready to make these macaroons. And macaroons are one of my favorite cookies, and it's absolutely one of my husband's. He just absolutely loves macaroons. So we know we have to start with impeccably clean utensils and bowls. There can't be any residue, any oily film, nothing like this. It has to be absolutely clean. Why is that?
Well, the reason is that egg whites are very finicky, and if there was a trace of oil in the bowl or on the utensils, it could prevent the egg whites from foaming up. And what you're after when you're beating egg whites is you want to form peaks. And you want the egg white to increase in volume. So if there's any oil, that can prevent the foam from doubling or tripling in volume, and that would affect the texture of your macaroons.
And something that we didn't mention, the egg whites should be at room temperature.
Yes, that makes a big difference as well. They'll beat up to a higher peak if they're sitting out at room temperature for 1 or 2 hours before you start working with them.
Now, you say to preheat the oven to 300 degrees, and using an electric mixer is the only way to go when it comes to beating egg whites, as far as I'm concerned. Now, you say to add cream of tartar. How much should we add?
Well, you need 1/4 teaspoon of cream of tartar, and that is it's a mild acid, and that's also going to help stabilize the egg white peaks as as you're beating and air is incorporated into the egg whites.
All right, so we've beaten our egg whites till they're nice and stiff. Now, you say gradually add the honey or agave nectar, then stevia and vanilla. Turn off the mixer. So the mixer can still be used, or do you fold these ingredients in?
You can still have the mixer on while you're adding the sweetener. Once the sweetener and the stevia and vanilla are in, once the syrup, vanilla, and stevia are in, then you can turn off the mixer, and then you're going to fold in the egg whites, and then you'll be ready to start spooning the batter onto your prepared pan.
Okay, so we're also folding our coconut in, and I recommend a nice wide rubber spatula. That's my recommendation, because, gee whiz, if I use a spoon, it just seems to take me 10 times longer. I like working with those big spatulas. But anyway, you say if you notice that the batter is wet and loose, that's when you add the additional coconut.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you want it to be stiffer than meringue batter, but not as stiff as cookie dough. So it's an in-between kind of a texture. And you said the test, place a spoonful of the batter on a baking tray. If it should stand in a mound 3/4 of an inch thick, that's good. Or it should stand that way. If it threatens to run, add more coconut. So you can do this test to make sure that you've got enough there. And you drop batter by level tablespoonfuls onto prepared baking sheets. And you can use 2 spoons to make a round shape or an upward chocolate kiss shape. Make an oval. And again, if you find your batter's getting thinner, just add more of the coconut. And then, what, it bakes for 20 to 25 minutes at 300 degrees. Now, of course, your oven is preheated. And you say, remove the cookies from the trays by slipping a thin metal spatula under the edge of each cookie and sawing back and forth, and you want to cook them on wire racks, and they last for up to two weeks. If nobody knows they're around, they'll last up to 2 weeks. But you can also freeze them, which
yep.
I thought was good.
And so, if you want to make it fancier, once the macaroons have cooled, you can actually drizzle them or dip them into melted, unsweetened, or bittersweet, very dark chocolate for kind of a black and white effect.
Ooh, that's good. You also can have coconut orange, just plain cocoa macaroons. You also have a recipe for carob. And then you've got mini macaroon cups. Oh, that would be super to fix. Absolutely wonderful. Well, you know, Rachel, we have so many wonderful recipes in this book that people can try out, and I'm sure they would be very happy to supply their friends with some samples to see what they like. But you have found that people generally, when food tastes good, they're just going to thoroughly enjoy whatever they're eating, and people have really liked the ice dream recipes.
Yeah, I've found even people who don't have food allergies and intolerances have just devour them and ask for recipes, and I had many people who were just waiting. They couldn't wait for the book to come out so that they could get the recipes, or recipe testers who said their friends wanted the recipes and they had promised that they wouldn't give out the recipes, so you know their friends had to wait until the book came out to get the recipes for the cookies and the sauces and the ice cream.
You've got a hot fudge sauce in here. Peanut buttery, you've got almond honey, caramel sauce, apricot sauce, blueberry sauce, mango. I mean, you've got compotes in here, peach melvas, candies, pecan pralines. You've got so many delicious, delicious items that people, if they are on a very sensitive level with their diet, the Ice Dream Cookbook is absolutely marvelous. Rachel, Chef Rachel Chubb, tell us what your website is.
My website is there are two of them. One is thehealthycookingcoach.com, thehealthycookingcoach.com, and the other is thegardenofeatingdiet.com.
All right. Would you repeat those one more time?
Yes. www.thehealthycookingcoach.com and www.thegardenofeatingdiet.com.
Well, I'll tell you, her book is definitely worth having. And if you have got fussy members of family, friends that are on restricted dietary programs, believe me, you could still serve up sumptuous goodies and they would be tickled to death to enjoy them and have copy of the recipe handy so you can pass it along. Better yet, give them a gift certificate of Rachel's book, The Ice Dream Cookbook, Dairy-Free Ice Cream Alternatives with Gluten-Free Cookies, Compotes, and Sauces. Chef Rachel, thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, I enjoyed it, and I look forward to working with you again.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go anywhere. We've got some good things still to share with you. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast, with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. You can call in for free reading on the air if you so desire. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. If you're listening for the first time, oh, I'm so glad you've joined us. What I would say to you is all I need when you call in to one of those numbers is your first name or your initial, then let me give you my mental impressions, and after that you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. So here we go again, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Well, countdown is a week, and I'm going to be in San Francisco a week from today, and we are getting ready for the Wisdom Festival. I was talking with someone who is going to be appearing there, and we had a nice chat this morning, and we are looking forward to participating in this marvelous event at Fort Mason in San Francisco, and you can go to their website, thewisdomfestival.com, wisdomfestival.com, and you can find out how you can get discounted tickets. There's just all kinds of great information there. I'm going to be speaking there as well as having a booth. So if you happen to be there, stop by. But they have guests from all over the country, and products and services from around the world are going to be there. And you're going to have all kinds of interesting people that you'll have a chance to interact with, have conversation with. It's fun. It's exciting. It's in a fabulous location. And I'll tell you, the view is from Fort Mason absolutely incredible. So it's a great environment to bring your family, your friends, and have a fun weekend. So everything's being set up on the 17th, the 18th, and 19th. It's going to be going a mile a minute. So I look forward to having the opportunity to meet with you. Again, this is Fort Mason, San Francisco, the Wisdom Festival. This is an annual event, and I'm very pleased to be a part of it this year. Again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I've been sent all kinds of information, and I wanted to share this one story with you. It really touched my heart because it is from a Michael Jordan Siegel, and he's a man whose life took a bit of a turn, and I wanted to share his story with you today. Because I think it always is good to hear about people who are living their life to their fullest capacity. Michael said, life is full of people who are not satisfied and not thankful for what they have. Too many times, people are constantly dwelling on what they've lost rather than being satisfied and thankful for what they still have left. Believe me, I speak from experience. Michael says, when I was 19 and well on my way to fulfilling my lifelong dream of becoming a surgeon, I walked into a convenience store which was in the process of being robbed. One of the thieves shot me in the back of my head, leaving me for dead. However, I fooled everyone. Sure, I have my disabilities and I used to constantly dwell on the many things I had lost, being negative, saying, before I was shot, I was athletic. Now I can barely walk with a significant limp. My arm is very weak. I speak somewhat slowly. My voice is hoarse. Before I was shot, I could do 500 things really well. After the shooting, I can do only 200 things well. For a long time, I was constantly dwelling on the 300 things I had lost. However, eventually I began focusing on the 200 things I could still do. It wasn't easy, and it took me a long time. But refocusing one's attitude is crucial, not merely for people shot in the head, not merely for people who are sick, but for everyone. Having a more positive attitude is vital and essential. Michael goes on to say that one of his friends had had a stroke. Michael said, I'd always try to encourage him by trying to get him to refocus on the positive. It wasn't easy, but it was working little by little, and he was improving. He had a long way to go, but he was getting there. This friend was always asking, how long did it take you to walk, Michael? I hope I'll be able to walk again. My response to him, Michael said, is everyone is different. Even though I have problems walking, my hopes and prayers are that one day you'll be able to walk. And, he said, after I made a statement like that, I'd go limping out of the room. Well, there came a time when Michael went to visit his friend a particular week, and he asked him to tell him something good. His friend told him that he had walked 60 feet with a cane in therapy. But just then, the doctor that Michael knew came in and asked how his friend was doing. Fine, my friend said, but I just want to be able to walk perfectly again, just like Mike. Now, Michael said this really surprised him. But to himself, he said, my friend has started on the road to recovery. He's beginning to think positive. Michael had another friend who once told him that he used to feel sorry when he'd see people who needed walkers. Michael recalled a situation, though, where he said, I will never forget what he said after that. I would give anything if my daughter, diagnosed with a possible brain tumor and currently needing a wheelchair, could progress to the point where she just needed a walker. That father prays for that. I pray for it, and many other people are praying for that as well. Michael said, the story is about being thankful for what you have and to set your goals for higher things. The world is full of many horrible things as well as many wonderful things. Sometimes a person is constantly looking at the horrible things. However, my hopes are that they will be able to find that beauty in life. It's there if you look for it. Again, this is a story by Michael Jordan Siegel. Now, here are the specifics about Michael. He was shot in the head during the robbery, as he said. He defied all odds, first by surviving this horrific experience, and then he went to college. He earned 2 degrees with honors, married his high school sweetheart, Sharon, and became a father to their daughter, Sean. Currently, he's a social worker at Memorial Hermann Hospital in Houston, Texas. He's an author. He's got 2 book projects he's working on. And he wants to have a CD to tell some of his stories. He's a speaker, and he is a man that's making a difference. You can go to his website, inspirationbymike.com, if you want to learn more. I thought this story was significant because it is so easy to look at what we don't have, to look at what's going on in our lives and say, gee, this and thus and so is happening to someone else. I should have this happening to me. Or we sit and get in our little pity pots, and we make them pretty good sizes, I think, because we really wallow in them at times. But if you're wise, you'll just have a little itty-bitty pity pot and give yourself 15 minutes. And then start being grateful for who you are and what you are, because every human being I have found, every human being that I've met, has something extremely valuable in their own uniqueness. But it takes courage to be willing to accept your uniqueness and be willing to explore the self if you don't know what that uniqueness is so that you can find it and take joy in it. I think of Chef Rachel I had on today. Her passion is cooking. I love cooking, believe me. But I don't have her passion where I'd want to do it maybe 18 hours a day. She loves to do it. She loves the research. She loves to go into all of these variables, trying out this, that, or the other. Me, I want the recipe. I'll do some adaptations, perhaps, with a recipe. But I want the basics. I want someone else to have tried and proven it true. And I'll take it the next level. It, we're all different. It's wonderful. I met a woman once that just loved to clean. She absolutely had a passion for it. Boy, do I wish I had more of those around. But anyway, that's somebody that it's wonderful. And many times she'd feel like she shouldn't be so pleased with what she was doing, but she said, I really do like it. And I said, why don't you form a business where you go ahead and you train other people to do what you love to do and do it well so that maybe they're going to be able to earn an income. And eventually she started her own business. See, there's so much out there. It doesn't matter whether you're a butcher, baker, candlestick maker, broadcaster, whatever. You have to ask yourself, what is it that I have in the way of talent that can make this world a better place? And Michael's right. You can listen to all kinds of stuff all day long, and you're going to think the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and I got news for you. It will. Unless we as individuals stand up, take joy in what we're doing, and just know that everything we do is contributing to a better environment. If you want to be an entrepreneur, take joy in doing that. Realize that that is what helps make the economy healthy by being willing to build businesses. The middle class makes a difference. You make a difference. If you're finding you're in real different circumstances that are really tough on you, and maybe it feels rather lonely, open your mouth. Ask people for help, but also say, how can I help myself? What can you teach me? Think about what they share with you and take what you will and leave what is not of value. Michael's story is a poignant one because with his experience, I don't know how I would have reacted, but he chose to take dominion over his thinking. And the resulting actions were he had to shift from being desirous of being a surgeon into something else that was going to be satisfying to him. But that didn't make him any less a human being, didn't make him any less valuable, just means he had to make a shift. And it's the same with all of us. So understand, you really have a lot more power in your life. You may not be able to make a difference over in England or over in France at this moment, but you can make a difference right where you are, doing the best you can do, whether it's being in a community position, whether it's taking care of your home and family, whatever it is, give it the best you've got. Do what you love to do. And I guarantee you, it will reach in ways you had never imagined. Believe me, it's a great feeling. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't forget those phone lines are open. If you want to chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 for Canadians. Here's the lineup for next week. We're going to be talking with Elizabeth Diane, Listening with Heart. And then that's on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about pet care. Do you travel? Do you find that sometimes you wish you had a person or wanted to know what you could do about making sure that your animals are well taken care of when you either have a function to go to or maybe you're going to go on vacation, etc.? Well, Paul Mann is going to give us an insight to some of that. Then on the 15th, we're going to be talking about the Roswell legacy. We're going to be talking to the son of Mr. Marcel, who was the man that picked up some items from the site itself, and Jesse saw it when he was a little boy. So this is his story about the experience. And then next Thursday and Friday, we're going to be playing the best of Donna because I'm going to be participating in the Wisdom Festival. So I look forward to being able to share some good things about that and what's going to be going on after I return. But it's on to San Francisco next week. Meanwhile, phone lines again are open, 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-815-9756. I was sent a story about John Lennon's ghost, and I thought it would be fun to share it with you. This is the month of Halloween. It's good to have spooky stories, and we've got some interesting things coming up this month. If you go into the BBS website, you'll find a listing of the guests that are going to be on the show this month, but also if you go into my newsletter, you'll find a listing there. Now, John Lennon's son, Julian, claims his father's ghost has visited him from beyond the grave. And how this occurred? Well, Julian said he was shocked by a haunting moment which occurred more than 25 years after his dad's death while he was shooting a film in Australia. Now, Julian agreed to take part in an ancient ceremony with an Aboriginal tribe. He said he was left speechless when he was handed a white feather by a tribe elder, which was a symbol of great significance to him. Now, someone reported to Britain's Daily Express newspaper, it may sound strange, but that was a very weird and emotional moment for Julian. He was left speechless. Not long before he died, John had told him, if anything ever happens to me, look for a white feather and you will know I am there for you, always looking out for you. Now, his son, John Lennon's son, Julian, who was 44 at the time, was in Australia to produce the film Whale Dreamers to raise awareness about the plight of whales and the Earth's oceans. Apparently, Julian isn't the only person that has been visited by John Lennon since his passing. So Fellow Beatle Sir Paul McCartney believes John appeared to the band in the form of a white peacock during the recording of the 1995 Beatles single, Free as a Bird. As Paul, Ringo Starr, and the now-deceased George Harrison posed for a photograph outside the recording studio, the bird just wandered into the shot. Paul said, "That was John." Spooky, eh? He said they felt like it was John just hanging around. "We felt that all through the recording, we put one of those spoof backward recordings on the end of the single for a laugh to give all those Beatle nuts something to do. Then we were listening to the finished single in the studio one night, and it gets to the end, and it goes, 'Zwark, John Lennon, Quark.' I swear to God, we were like, 'It's John. He likes it.'" Now, Oasis singer Liam Gallagher also claims that he was left in awe when John's spirit visited him in the middle of the night. Now, this is a person who is a self-confessed Beatles fanatic. He said, "I was in Manchester at a friend's house having a sleep. I remember getting up and feeling really weird. I turned round, and there I was, lying on the bed, and I sort of fell back into my body. There was a presence there, and it was him, John Lennon." And, of course, John Lennon was shot dead at the age of 40 in 1980 by a fan that was mentally disabled, Mark Chapman, as John entered the Dakota Building in New York. Mr. Chapman shot him. But anyway, I thought that was a fun story that somebody had sent along to me, and there are so many stories like this around. And I think that when you hear these stories, you need to remember these are very special experiences to people, and unless you have one of your own, it's really hard to express it or explain it. I know. I've had a few myself. But once you have the experience, you never, ever forget it. And especially when, like, you know, some of these, it was in what you'd call the broad daylight environment. Donna Sebo here, 877-876-5227. By the way, when it comes to security, you want to be on alert. And there are so many people that are getting scammed by individuals who really want to take you for a ride. If you're having financial problems and there's a foreclosure situation that's potential, don't give in to anybody's scare tactics or to someone saying, "Have I got a deal for you?" Check your sources. Make sure you check things out. There is so much that is going on. And, of course, as we get closer and closer to the holiday season, there's an abundance of it. It just seems as if people are so very, very vulnerable. So you want to be sure, number one, if somebody is calling you on the phone and trying to obtain information from you, please do not give out your social security number. Ask them if you can call them back. I have had, for example, a solicitation recently where people are saying, "Gee, you have a $500 credit on a dream vacation that you didn't take a couple of years ago to a certain state." And I just listened to them quite politely, and I said, "I never ever booked a dream vacation to this particular state with such and such an agenda in mind." And they said, "Oh, but we have a credit here for you." I said, "No, not done. Why don't you send me some information?" "Nope, can't do that." I ended up getting 4 calls within 3 days. The last call I got, the person said, "Well, you know, if you don't take advantage of it, this is the very last day." I said, "That's fine with me because I have no plans. I never, ever did sign up for this, and I don't have a $500 credit." And they said, "Goodbye." So you need to be aware that there are all kinds of agendas, and for heaven's sake, don't give them your credit card numbers. If someone says, "I am from a credit card company, and we're verifying certain information with you," say, "May I have your number where I can call you back?" And make sure that you listen when you call that number to what's going on, because there's fraudulent stuff going on with phones. I think I've told you about that happened with us. There's credit card scams. There's all kinds of gimmicks. So be wise, be aware. Well, my goodness, we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And go for gold. That's the best attitude you possibly can have, because this life is yours to live, and you're meant to live it with excellence and with purpose. Have a fabulous weekend. Talk to you same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.